Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to have another promise song for our series, God's Promises. As you're getting prepared to sing, I want to remind you that a promise is simply what God has declared that he will do for his people. And so if you're one of his people, when you start hearing the word promise, you ought to get excited, because God's talking to you about what he wants to do for you. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 13 this morning.
This life I have already come, and he keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, stand on every word his holy word has said, and holding his hand I'll never fear whatever lies ahead.
I'm gonna
best that I
Didn't you feel your spirit just lift in faith as they sang this morning? Thank you, ladies, for that wonderful encouragement about the promises of God. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? I'm going to read one verse right now. The writer of Hebrews says, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. If there wasn't a promise coming up, we might not like this verse too well. Be content with the things as you have, such things that you have. But it goes on and ties that with this promise. For he has said, thank you, the writer is reminding us, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He hath said, I will never leave thee. Who said it? He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to preach this morning on the promise of never alone. The promise of never alone. We used to sing a song years ago. I won't sing it, but you got to the chorus, and the chorus said, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. The promise of alone. You can be seated. Some things you never forget. In the ninth grade and mid-high, we still had open campus. That means on lunch you can go where you want to go. And it was too far from home, but there came a period of time it was not cool to go to the cafeteria, the school cafeteria. And so you could have had a good meal, but what lunch money you had, you went somewhere and bought a soda pop and a candy bar and a bag of chips, and that was cool. Well, we used to go to Safeway, and that's a Western grocery store. I don't know if they ever had them here or not. But there was a friend of mine. He was shorter than I, kind of a small guy. And this bully, we called him Hoods back then, this Hood, big old guy. Probably should have been the 12th grade, truth was known. Big old guy got to picking on my friend. Just constantly in the halls of school, wanting him to fight him. Finally, my friend, you know, though he was a lot smaller, he said, I don't know, maybe I ought to fight him, get it over with. And we had another friend, was a closer friend to my friend, my friend's friend. He was pretty big, too, and he said, look, go ahead and fight him. Go ahead and fight him. He said, I'll tell you what, you fight him, and if he starts getting the best of you, I'll jump in and take over, and I'll let him have it. And my friend said, you'll do that? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, go ahead and fight. Come on, go ahead and fight. And if things get too rough, you just back out of there, you call for me, and I'll just jump in there and I'll take care of that fella. Well, this Hood was not only big, he was mean. I mean, he looked mean. He looked angry. I can still see his face, just full of anger. Well, one lunch period, we got to the parking lot of Safeway, and here comes that guy. And my friend said, do you want to fight? I'll fight you. Because he's got his buddy over there that said he'd jump in. I didn't say that. The other guy did. And I can see it as is yesterday. The fight didn't go well from the front first. And this big old guy got a hold of my friend and got somehow on top of him and got his hands behind his head and was bashing his head into the parking lot. And I'll never forget my friend looking at the one that said he'd jump in and calling out. I could call his name, but I won't. He called out his name and said, you said you'd jump in. I need your help. I need your help. And then blood was running, everything. And I still remember the friend of the friend. He stuck his head and said, I ain't getting involved. That's your fight. You say, why didn't I didn't get involved? You haven't seen photos of how skinny I was in the ninth grade. You'd understand. Over and over, he called out to him on his word that if things got tough, he'd get involved. But when my friend called out, he didn't get involved. He did not keep his word. Listen, we have somebody that told us that when it got rough, he would get involved. On his word, Matthew 28:20, he puts it this way. Jesus told the disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, this is his word, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Has he not promised he would be with us to the very end? I want you to know, you may be in a fight this morning and feel like Satan's got a hold of you like that bully did my friend. But I'll tell you one thing, if you start calling out, you'll find that Jesus is right there and he will get involved. I thought a lot about Jesus' promise here this week. This is at the very end of his ministry. This is after his resurrection, and he turns to his disciples and he looks them in the eye and he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that's great. But this is what I was thinking about this week. Just a little bit after this, he said, I'm with you always. But just a little bit after this, the disciples watched as Jesus began to ascend and disappear out of sight into the heavens. Don't you think a few of those disciples were saying, wait a minute, you're leaving us, and you promised you would never leave. You're disappearing from sight, and you said you'd walk with us to the end. Don't you think some of those disciples were thinking that? I would have been thinking that. But I can imagine one of them suddenly speaking up and saying, wait a minute, boys. We're forgetting something. Not only did Jesus say, I am with you always, even unto the end, but he also said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will take of the things of mine and show. In other words, when Jesus went away, he sent the Holy Spirit. And here's the truth of the matter. When the Spirit is with us, Jesus is with us. When the Spirit is talking, Jesus is talking. How is Jesus always with us, even to the end? He is with us. Jesus is with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Did anyone feel the moving of the Spirit in the worship this morning? I'm telling you, that was Jesus with us. Glory to God. Did you feel the Spirit this week? Anywhere in your home, your car, in prayer? That was Jesus with us. Hallelujah. Jesus has assumed a body, howbeit glorified. He cannot be everywhere in that body, but through the power of the Spirit, he can be with us. And this promise is fulfilled by the power and the moving and the speaking and the touching and the working of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful truth? And so I want to preach this morning. He's going to be with us. And he's going to be more than a Facebook friend, only electronically available if you have a Wi-Fi connection or a good data plan. He's going to be more than a Facebook friend just to like your photos and make passing comments. And I'm telling you, Jesus is going to be with you more than just following you on Twitter. He's going to be with you in person through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to preach this morning is we as believers, we can be content. Isn't that word in that verse? We can be content whatever our situation, wherever life leads, however bad things may get, we can be content knowing that he's going to be with us every step of the way. Would you just lift your hand right now and say, thank you, Lord, for being with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to first of all talk about the commitment of the promise. The commitment of the promise. How many can read Greek? Let me see your hand. Go ahead, Brother Mike. Can you read that? Umese ano. Can you read that? You say, why did you put that up there for? Because even though you may not be able to read that, I want to point out something to you here. I wish I had a pointer right now, but I don't. Count the words with me real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words. What I want to point out of these 9 words of the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Out of the 9 original words, 5 of them are negatives. Look at that first. We'll just number them. That says no. Look at the second one. It says no. See the comma? The word after it says no. See the second word after the comma? No. The third word after the comma? No. He's making a point. And he's got all these no's to emphasize. If I read this literally, it would say, no, no, you will I not leave. And no, 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 you I will not forsake. Why all those negatives? To show us it's an impossibility. He wants us to hear it over and over again. No, 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 I will not leave thee nor forsake thee, but I'm going to be with you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The devil say he's leaving, he's abandoned, he's deserting, but he's saying, no, no, you I will not leave, and no, 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 you I will not forsake. Oh, aren't you thankful for his promise? Amen. Jesus says this because he has entered into a covenant with his disciples. You know, we don't think about this so much, but what do we call the second portion of the Bible? We call it the what? New Testament. What does the word testament mean? Someone want to jump right and say it means a will. No, first of all, testament means covenant. And when Jesus shared those elements to illustrate his blood and his flesh and said, this is my new covenant with you, New Testament. He's saying, I'm making a covenant with you. Just like yesterday, we had a marriage. And man and woman entered into a covenant with one another before God. A commitment to one another. Jesus entered into a covenant with his disciples. We could name the 12 disciples then, but if you are a born-again believer, you are one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. I want us to get this. As sure as marriage is a covenant, if you are a born-again believer, Jesus has entered into a covenant with you. Now, in that marriage, part of that covenant was through good times and bad times, lots of money. Most people don't have to worry about that, but richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, amen, I'll never forsake you. I promise my commitment to you and my faithfulness to you. That was the covenant between man and woman in a marriage. But Jesus has made a covenant with us. And in that covenant to us, Jesus has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, you can almost hear him in good times and bad times, richer and poorer, sickness and in health, in battle with Satan and in victory, in every circumstance of life, in youth and in old age and everywhere in between. I've entered into a covenant with you. I will not break my word. I will not renege on my promise. I've entered into a covenant with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh, hallelujah. And so look at this covenant. It began right off with the people of God. Deuteronomy chapter 31. God said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of them, your enemies. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 1:5, Moses is now gone. But God speaks to Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Listen to this. As I was with Moses. Remember, we're in covenant with Jesus. He's saying this to us too, not just Joshua. He's saying this to us. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. 1 Chronicles 28, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Build the temple. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God. Why did you take the time to read all that? Not only to make the point that God is in covenant with his people, because in our promise, Hebrews 13:5, he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. That was a conglomeration of the verses I just read to you. That was what was in the mind of the Spirit and in the man of God that wrote it down when he said, he has said, this is where he said it, what I read to you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But it's not just in the Old Testament he said. I've already had it on the board, but in Matthew 28, Jesus echoed what God had already said to his people. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How many can see he's made a commitment to us? I believe the Lord's committed to us all the way. Oh, thank God for the commitment of this promise. He said he's going to be with us. That's why the psalmist could say in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. That's why in the promise we've already covered in Isaiah 43, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. He said, I'm going to be with us, or with you. Amen. And we take that as a commitment, a promise. He will be with us. How many knows we each have an individual journey to take? We do. We don't all walk the same path. I'm not talking about being in Jesus. I'm talking about the events, the experiences, of the encounters of our life. We all walk a different journey. Amen. We have valleys to go through. We have mountains to climb. Some of us walk through very, very difficult things. But His commitment is whatever our individual journey that we must travel, whatever consists in that journey, He has committed Himself to be there with us through it all. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. I don't know where you're at in your journey this morning, but what I want you to know, He's made a commitment. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Hallelujah. I asked the question, why would somebody leave a person they were in commitment to? I'm talking about on the human. Why would they leave him? One is because they're being unfaithful. Someone else has stolen their affections. Another is they just get fed up. I don't know if you'd want to be that honest, so don't lift your hand. But how many just got fed up with some people and you said, that's enough. This friendship's over with. Don't raise a hand. It happens. And please don't look at your neighbor. But anyway, it happens. Not you, Brother Wilson. I just happen to be looking. Amen. Another reason is some folks just get uninterested. They just lose interest. But I want you to know the Lord will never be unfaithful to us. And I know He should be, but He never gets fed up with us. And Sister Brock, He never loses interest in us. He will be with us. He's committed. And secondly, I want you to notice the concern for the promise. In other words, why should we be concerned about having this promise? Every one of us in this building, if you've lived very long, you have known the pain of somebody who said they would be with you to the end. A friend, a family member, and then to have that friend or family member betray you and leave you. I've lived long enough to have intimate friends that said our friendship would last till we died. But today, that friendship is over with. How many knows we live with that pain of having somebody walk off and leave us? But Jesus said He won't do that. Isn't that wonderful? The very words, the word leave means to desert. I'll not desert you. The word forsake means not to leave behind. He said, I will not leave you behind. I will be with you. We have an expression. Let's say, I'm just making this up out of the air, but let's say a man, he becomes unfaithful. He leaves his wife and his children. We have an expression we use. Can you believe that fella? He just walked off and left his wife. He just walked off and left his family. He just walked off and left his children. I have it on the authority of God's word that Jesus will never just walk off and leave you. He said, I'm going to be with you to the end. I know whenever you preach something like this, there's always some folks that have a certain bravado about them, a bravado of toughness and selfishness, and they say, well, I can make it on my own. I don't need anybody else. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm going to tell you, you can say that, but that's a violation of human nature. Because there's something in human nature that when we walk, we want somebody with us. In fact, you may be awfully tough, but it's hard for me to see how you're any tougher than Moses. And what did Moses say when he was facing that wilderness and leading those people through it and facing all those enemies? He put on the brakes, set the parking brake, and he looked at God and said, see that wilderness, see those people, see those enemies? There may be a promised land on the other side. But Moses said to God, I will not go unless you go with me. How many knows Moses said that? I think we ought to have that attitude. I will not go, oh Lord, unless you go with me, and you have promised to go with me. It came up the other day when we first moved here. Trotwood was booming. And one of the things we'd do on Monday on the day off, I mean, Ashton was 4 and Micah was 2. We'd go to the mall. We'd eat lunch there in the food court. And they used to have a popcorn store there on the edge of the food court. And those kids liked that flavored popcorn. And at first we go up there and buy it for them. But, you know, we've always taught our kids at an early age, you learn to do stuff for yourself. And so Ashlyn said, "Want some popcorn, Dad?" Okay. Handed her the money and said, "Go up there and order." She looked back at me and said, "I can't go up there. I'm scared, Dad." I said, "Well, if you want popcorn bad enough, you'll go up there." So you know what her next reaction was? To turn to Micah and say, 2 years old, you know, "Will you go with me?" And I can still see that picture in my mind. Those little, of course, we were right there. I mean, we weren't shopping down at, we were at the table right there, watching them walk up to the counter and order that popcorn. Didn't want to do it by herself. I just want to be truthful. There's some things about this life I don't want to do by myself. That's why there's a concern over this promise. Is this promise for real? Because some of us recognize we're not that tough. We need somebody with us. How many just kind of feels that way this morning? I need somebody with me. Some places it seems like you have to go alone. How many recognize? Some places it seems like you have to go alone. I think a lot of that is surgery. I'm with folks in surgery, all the families in the room, and you gather around, you pray, and you talk, and the whole family's there, and you might even be able to follow that gurney down the hall, but you get to those doors, authorized personnel only, and your family, not a one of your family, can go beyond those doors. You go alone into that surgery. Amen. Other places you go alone. I think of folks that are incarcerated. I've been there, and that's a sad thing to think. And you hear it in the news, and you think when they leave their family. They go it alone. All kinds of situations of life. Sometimes it's just school. That's why you moms get all teary-eyed, you know, kindergarten. Because that little toddler of yours, you can't go with them into that kindergarten class. They walk into that big world of kindergarten on their own. And sometimes it's work. You leave your Christian friends behind when you go to work. You leave your family behind when you go to work. You enter that factory. It seems like you're alone. And the worst of it all is death. I've been there too. We all will come to that place. The family may be gathered in the room. Folks may be there. The preacher may be there. Amen. But here it's going to be. When it comes the time of the crossing, amen, it'll be alone. But notice I put a little phrase in there, a qualifier. I said, it seems like you're all alone. But if you're laying on that gurney facing surgery, you may leave your family behind those doors on the other side of the authorized only. Amen. But Jesus goes with you right past the doors. Amen. You may go to school or work, and it seems like you're walking in there all alone, but it just seems that way because you got to realize something. Jesus goes through the doors of the school or work right there with you. And when it comes time, and it will for every one of us, amen, when we face death's chilly waters, amen, we face death and it comes time to leave, it may seem like we have to cross alone, but when the moment comes, there'll be the steadying hand of the Lord and say, "I'm right here with you because I promise I would never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you to the end." Let's just thank Him for the promise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Next of all, I want to look at a little bit at the context of the promise. I've told you that's important. The first thing I want to point out that these that the writer of Hebrew were writing to were believers that were undergoing tremendous persecution. And under their persecution, they faced a temptation just to give up serving Christ and go back to their old ways and their old religion. Now, I'm glad that's in the Bible because you've been there. Especially when you were new to serving the Lord. It started to get tough, and the temptation came just to let it go and go back to the way things were. And these readers were under that temptation. It was getting tough. And so Hebrew is written, and I wish I had time to get into it because it's one of my favorite books, but I won't. But in writing Hebrews, that author was saying, don't go back. Press on. Go on, hold on, Don't go back. I know it's getting rough. But you've got to understand something. However rough it may be getting, Jesus walks with you. And if he's walking with you, you don't have to go back. You can go forward. You can go on. You don't have to go back. And I want to add the warning here, because he did in Hebrews. I'm telling you, it's there. You'll read it. He said you don't have to go back, because Jesus is with you and go forward. But he says in Hebrews, if you go back, you'll go back alone. It may be tough going forward, but he'll be with you. But if you go back, you'll go back alone. I don't know how you feel, but I don't want to go back alone. Let's look at the context. He begins to promise, don't be covetous, but be content. You see, the crux of the matter here is, under the persecution, they were losing material things. They didn't have any economic security. I mean, they were losing livelihood under the persecution. And so this promise is all about feeling that you don't have enough to face the future. It's about thinking that wealth and material things will give you security, and you become alarmed that things are going bad. You've got to get more and more. That's the covetousness. Amen. I've got to have more and more material things. That'll give me security. That'll give me a sense of being. That'll give me a sense of importance. I've got to have things. Things is what I need in my trouble. Things is what I need. Amen. I started serving Christ, but things got tough. Amen. My friends turned against me. I fought battles. I mean, that's a life of hardness. What I need is material things. I need money. I need that. That's what he said. Be not covetous. Don't be obsessed with getting more and more things. What you've got to understand, he said he would be with you. And it may be rough, but you can be secure, because the provider is with you. It may not look like you have everything you need. Amen. You may not see how you're going to get everything you need. But what you've got to know is the provider is with you. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this promise can only mean something to us if we say no to a covetous spirit, a seeking of material things, and say yes to commitment. You see how he ties them together? Be content with such things as you have. He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The point is, and the only logical conclusion, is we can only truly be content when we're walking with him. And if we're not content, it means either we're not walking with him, or we're failing to recognize the importance of honoring him as he walks with us. Be content. Know that he's walking with you. If I'm truly focused on his being with me, I will not be covetous. Hallelujah. You know, some of the church world has it all wrong today, because I want you to know that Jesus isn't just a genie in the bottle at our beck and call, like at Aladdin's lamp. Some people have made Christ. That's not the way he's with us. He's not with us as a genie to meet our ever material and carnal whim. But he is with us as the provider. And he is with us as the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. And he is with us as the counselor. And he is with us as the advocate. And he is with us as the Prince of Peace. And he is with us as the Savior. And he is with us as the deliverer. And he is with us as the giver of grace. And suddenly those carnal things don't seem as important. To have him with us always does not mean we'll always prosper and never be persecuted and never have pain. In fact, that's why the writer of Hebrews is emphasizing this. You can have Christ with you and have persecution and have pain. And these readers, they were not prospering materially. But what the writer gave this promise for is, even when there's persecution, even when there's pain, even in those times, you can be consoled by knowing you're coming through this because he's with you. This year, my wife has been with me for 28 years. What a woman. Stay with me for 28 years. She's never left me in one difficulty. She's never left me in any problem that we might have. Now, I want you to think about that. I joy in that. But the joy isn't that every time I've had a problem, she was able to fix it. The joy of what I'm sharing about those 28 years is whether the problem could be fixed or not by her. She was with me. She stuck with me. We look at this thing of if Jesus walks with us, every problem will be immediately and completely fixed. That's not the joy of it. The joy is, in spite of the problems, I can know that He walks with me all the way. And then there's the conditions of the promise. And I want us to get this. We'll move through this rapidly, but this is so important. I've seen more, and I trust you as a church have seen it as well. When we preach on these promises, folks want to divorce them from any condition and act like they just blanketly apply to all people at all times. But I do believe there's some conditions. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I believe the first condition is this, that we don't leave Him. He said He'd never leave us, but He never said that we couldn't leave Him. How many know some folks that have left the Lord? You see, a woman has a husband. Her husband's been unfaithful, has left her and the children for relationship with another woman. We don't say she's the one that broke the commitment and her promise till death do us part. It was He that did it. And if someone quits serving the Lord, God never left them. They left God. I just want to emphasize this morning, God doesn't leave His people. But sometimes His people leave Him. You see, this isn't I'll live any way I wish, go anywhere I want to, take into my life anything I want, and yet the Lord's going to stick around because He's promised. No, the promise is I'll be with you, but don't you be covetous. Don't you be after the why? Because if I'm covetous, I will leave the Lord because the things of the world will be. But be content. You know, I'm not saying be happy you got problems. That's not what I'm saying. But you can have the problems this morning and be content because you know your sins are gone. Be content because you know you're on the way to heaven. Be content because whatever you face, He's going to walk there with you. So that's a condition. Amen. You see, we can be content because if we have Him. How many remembers that old song? I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, and that's enough. That's enough. And that's enough. Some people say, I got the Lord, and that's enough if it gives me a better job. I've got the Lord, and that's enough if it gives me a finer automobile. I got the Lord, and that's enough if it gives me a bigger house. Amen. I'm not downplaying that God wants to help us with our needs or any of that. I'm just talking about, if we can just get to the place that we add nothing to it. We just say, I've got the Lord. And that's enough. I'll tell you the truth. I'd rather stay in a one-room apartment in the middle of a ghetto if that's the only place I could be with my wife. I'd rather stay in that one-room apartment in the ghetto than in the finest lodge up on the mountainside that has all kinds of room. Rather than to stay in that lodge alone by myself, I'd rather stay in the one-room apartment in the middle of a ghetto. That's the attitude that we ought to have. I got the Lord. Now, I will tell you the truth. If I had my rathers, I'd rather stay with my wife in the lodge on the mountaintop than in the one-room apartment in the ghetto. But if it can't be that way, I'd rather be with my wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got the Lord. Everything's not working the way I'd like it to. Things are tough. Things are rough. The devil's coming against me. I've got the problem. I got the debt. I got the sickness. But I got the Lord. I can be content. Condition number two. The condition is we don't go where He will not go. I read in a book, and I understood the point the author was making, but I read in a book, these words are very, I'm paraphrasing, but this was the gist. The author said, God is as much with you when you're sitting in a movie theater, watching a movie with bad words and naughty scenes. He's as much with you then than when you're at church worshiping God. I know the point he is trying to make. Really, his theology is coming through that once you claim to be saved, you can do anything and you're still going to heaven. But I would beg to differ with him. I am convinced there's some places that God does not go. You see, I understand something. I know God is omnipresent. I know you can go to any corner of this universe and God is there. But we're talking about his manifest presence. We're talking about his being with us as a friend and as a comforter and as a counselor. I know being omnipresent, God's presence in a sense was in Sodom and Gomorrah, but his presence wasn't in Sodom and Gomorrah like it was when Moses saw him as he passed the cliff of the rock. His presence wasn't in Sodom and Gomorrah like it was in the Holy of Holies. His presence wasn't in Sodom and Gomorrah like it was in Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. I know God is omniscient, but not in this sense that I am with you. You can go some places that in that sense he will not go. Do you believe that? I'm that way. My wife can go in a lot of stores and I'll go with her. But there's some stores I refuse to go in. If it's not going to burn me to death in the car or freeze me, I'm going to sit in the car. I ain't going in there. Come on, man. Where you at? I'll be with you to the end. There's some places God won't go. I'm not talking about geologically, but in other ways. I've had folks do things in direct opposition of God's word and then look at me and say, well, you know, I know God's with you. Mark, you're my friend. If we're walking down the street and you walk in the bar, buddy, you're going in there alone. I ain't going in. Let's not go in there to get you out. No chance of that happening, but you understand what I'm saying. Yes. No, I mean no chance of you going into the bar, not me getting you. Oh, yeah. Amen. Brother Tim, you're my friend. If we're walking down on the river and you head for the riverboat to gamble, I ain't going in there with you. And I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Lord, folks have got this attitude because they pulled a little promise out of a box. Lo, I'm with you always. They got this idea they can go anywhere and do anything. And here comes Jesus right along with them. I tell you, that's not true. You can leave the Lord. Amen? Oh, I told you I wouldn't get into it, but read the Hebrews. It said, let us fear. Fear turning back. Fear falling short. Amen. It's there. It's the promise. And then the condition is that we walk the way of life, the narrow way, not the broad way. If I am walking the narrow way, I have been saved by Christ. I have repented my sins. If I'm walking the narrow way, he walks that way with me. But if I'm going to walk the way that seemeth right unto a man, if I'm going to walk the broad way that leads to, he's not walking. Now, he may call to me from the when I'm on the Broadway and say, hey, won't you come? I want you to come walk with me on the narrow. But he doesn't walk that Broadway. How many's on the narrow way this morning? Did you know that he's with you? You don't walk that way alone. Hallelujah. And last of all, just some quick conclusions from this promise. It's redundant, but I want to tell you again. Here's what we can conclude. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We are not alone. How many has noticed that houses, when you think about it, make all kinds of noises, especially at night? It's like a house wakes up at night and says, it's time to make some noise. Okay, no one's ever been in a house alone. How many's been in a house alone and you never knew it had that many noises in it? I mean, you got bears that run on the rafters of your, up in your attic, don't you? I mean, there's 12-foot rattlesnakes that go through the walls. But have you ever noticed this? Now, grown men aren't supposed to be afraid. So it's not fear, it's uneasiness. Even a grown man can be in an empty house and feel uneasy. But he can have a little baby, sister. He can have a little baby there who couldn't throw a rattler at the thief that breaks in. And just the presence, just the presence of another human being can take that uneasiness right away. If the presence of an infant can do that, what about the presence of Jesus? Hallelujah. We do not face what we face alone. I'm telling you, this is an analogy, but having Jesus walk with you, that's like being riding in your car and having a mechanic in the passenger seat when you have car trouble. Amen? That's like having a doctor that lives out back in a cottage, and when the kids get sick, the doctor's right there. That's like having a leak, and your best friend just came to spend the weekend, and he's a plumber. That's like having your computer crash, but the friend that's there with you, he's that computer geek. Amen. It's like having a thief breaking in at the same time your friend the policeman is visiting in the living room. I'm saying he's ever with us. We don't face what we face alone. And last of all, if he's with us, we can make it through whatever we face, because we know he can make it through whatever we face. I try and stay out of Hebrews. Isn't that what it said? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising. What did it say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. In other words, he's already walked this way. He's blazed the trail. And if he's already come through it, he can take us through it. And so the final conclusion I want to draw this morning: when you are alone as a believer, you are not alone. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Would you come, music? I want to read these verses to us. In closing, this has spoken to me tremendously through the years. This is what Paul said in Timothy. At my first answer, that means his first hearing there in Rome, no man stood with me, no lawyers, no friends, no companions. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now, what did he just say in verse 16? No man stood with me. You know what he said? Just say that with me. No man stood with me. Let's go to the next verse. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul the prisoner, it's court day. He gets to the court. He's got the chains on him. He's getting ready to go in and face even perhaps the emperor or the judge that's there on the other end of the judgment hall. And he looks to his left, not a friend, not a companion. He looks to his right and behind him, not a friend. And he begins clanking his way across those marble stones of that judgment hall, going up there to face that judge on a wrongful charge. And as he walks, amen, he's thinking to himself, nobody's with me. I wish somebody was with me, but nobody's with me. All he can hear is the clank of those chains. But then all of a sudden, he said, wait a minute. I hear somebody walking right beside me. And he looked and said, is it Luke? No, Luke's not there. He looked over. He didn't see anybody. He keeps walking. But every step, he hears somebody walking with him. And as he gets in front of that judgment bar, suddenly it occurs to him, no man, earthly man, is with me. But Jesus, he's right there. And why shouldn't he be? He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. I don't know what situation you're walking into this week. And you may look this way and that way, and it may not seem that there's one born-again believer within 50 miles of you. Nobody you can trust within 100 miles. But this week, when you march into whatever you walk into, I want you to listen with Paul. And I think you'll hear the footsteps of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you'll say with Paul, no man's with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord is here with me. You notice how Paul all moved on. He said, because I know the Lord is with me now, I also know that he'll also deliver me from every other evil work that I face, and he'll preserve me, he'll keep me until he gets me all the way into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're glad the Lord's with you, I want you to stand and join Paul and say, Lord, I give you glory. You're going to get me there. You're going to walk with me every step of the way. You're going to give me victory and deliverance from every evil work, every trial, every temptation, every problem, every crisis, every difficulty, every enemy. Amen. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Let's praise him across the building. Lord, we worship you. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus, you are walking alone when you do not have to. He loves you. He cares for you. He gave his life for you. If you'd surrender your life to him, enter in the way called Jesus, he'd walk with you every step of the way. I want you to be honest. We're 20 plus years of friends here. Talking about me and you. I wonder if there's anyone that lift a hand and just be real honest and say, I'm facing something that I feel like I'm facing all alone. Would you just lift a hand and say, that's me. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. I'm facing something. God bless you. Someone else. I feel like I'm facing it all alone. How many would say, those that lift your hands, but I'm going to believe the promise that he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Church, I want you to become, we're going to be praying for these, I'll be praying for, I want you to come as a church and begin to fill these altars. But as you do, come ahead, as you do, I want you to know, I want to know if there's anyone here, you've started walking another way, and you realize this morning that if you walk that way, he will not walk it with you. Amen. Come with the church as they're coming and say, Lord, I want to get back on the way that you'll be able to walk with me on. I want to be on the way that you can walk with me on. Amen. Amen. Come and pray and say, Lord, I don't want to walk away that you can't walk with me, that you can't be with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's claim his promise.
Waiting there with power in those times I am so weak. Standing there in the midst of the storm.
Thank him that he's with you. Thank him for his promise.
He gives me peace.
Listen for his footsteps. You feel like you're alone, but listen for his footsteps.
There have been times I felt alone.
Thank you, Lord.
I thought I was here all by myself. Only to find out I was oh so wrong. There was always someone else who was watching. Watching me nearby, when I heard his voice, he was standing right by my side.
Let's believe him this morning. He's always there.
Though I can't see,
I may not be able to see it, but he's there.
Waiting there with power in those times I am so weak.
Let's reach out to him, church.
He's always there for me.
Oh, yes, Lord.